in the book of Revelation and chapter 18. And we shall commence to read, please, at verse number 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, or in luxury, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verse 11, And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver, and precious stones, and of pearls, and of fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more at all. Let us go down the passage, please, to verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians, and of pipers and trumpeters, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now God, I'm sure, will bless his precious word. Now our subject tonight is a very fascinating one. It's one that the Bible speaks much about, right from the book of Genesis, right through to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I refer to the subject of Babylon. Now as we think of Babylon tonight, I am going to especially think of Babylon as a commercial center. And we are still thinking this evening of the tribulation, or the great tribulation period, that will follow perhaps not very long after the event of the rapture of the church, the catching up of believers to be with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, before all these seals, trumpets,
and bowls of judgment and wrath are poured upon this earth. So this is the period we saw last night of Daniel's 70th week, divided up into two equal parts of 3.5 years and 3.5 years. So tonight, our consideration is still in this period of Daniel's 70th week, the period of the tribulation on earth following the rapture. Remember, the church believers will be in heavenly scenes with the Lord Jesus Christ above. Now, we're going to think not of Babylon in chapter 17, an interesting subject too, religious Babylon, seen symbolized in the woman seated on the seven-headed beast. You have that in Revelation 17. But we're going to specifically think about this city in Revelation 18, not religious Babylon, rather with commercial Babylon in Revelation chapter 18. Now, it is very easy to confuse the two, to think that the Babylon of chapter 18 is the same as the Babylon of chapter 17, but they are quite different. And do bear with me as I give you a number of differences between the religious Babylon of chapter 17 of Revelation and the commercial Babylon of chapter 18 of Revelation. Now, first of all, we read in verse 1 of chapter 18, after these things. So this would imply that the doom of Babylon, the literal city, takes place after that of the spiritual system of chapter 17, which is also destroyed. After these things. Notice, please, that time note. Secondly, if you were to turn to chapter 17 and verse 16, the 10 kings there, in the time of the tribulation, the 10 kings hate mystery Babylon, and cruelly destroy her. Whereas when you come to chapter 18 and verse 9, you see that these 10 kings bewail and lament the destruction of the great city, the commercial center of chapter 18. So the 10 kings in chapter 17, they hate the woman, this religious system in Babylon. For remember that religion, organized religion, apostate religion, will still continue quite a while, even after the rapture of the church. It will be there. And the 10 kings will really hate this religious, big, organized system, religious Babylon. Whereas these very same kings, in connection with the commercial city, this future mecca of society, which will be built and exist in the tribulation time, they'll delight in her. There's so much there for them to indeed delight in. And as far as they are concerned, it'll be a terrible calamity and tragedy. And eventually this is destroyed by God. Commercial Babylon. See the difference? And then again, thirdly, the destruction of mystery Babylon in chapter 17, I want you to notice, is inflicted by the hand of 10 kings. You look at chapter 17 and you will discover that. But when you come in, the destruction of commercial Babylon, this literal city, is the result of the direct judgment of God. Notice that verse, will you, at the end of verse 8? For strong is Jehovah Lord God, Jehovah God, who judgeth her, or perhaps a better reading would be, who has judged her. So it's the 10 kings that caused the destruction of the religious Babylon of chapter 2. Whereas, coming to the destruction and doom of commercial Babylon in chapter 18, it is God himself. It is his sovereign power that will indeed bring to an end swiftly and suddenly commercial Babylon in chapter 18. And perhaps another proof of the difference between religious Babylon of chapter 17 and commercial Babylon of chapter 18 is there even at the start of the chapter, chapter 18 here, because do you notice, in addition to my remarks, another angel. Yes, another angel is commissioned, separate from the angel of chapter 17 and verse 7. Another angel is commissioned to come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and so on. I'm asking my brethren, and the young brethren in particular too, as well as sisters, to please carefully observe the differences between chapter 17 and chapter 18. The Babylon mentioned in both is not to be confused, is not to be identified or the same. There may be an interrelation for a while the religious system exists, but there are differences between chapter 17 and 18. One is the religious, chapter 17, the other is the commercial in chapter 18. What does all this mean? I repeat, what does all this mean? Well, listen carefully. The one great reigning power of the whole earth will soon be commerce, and commerce alone. The power of Mystery Babylon and the autocratic power of the kings will be minimized, and the power which will take their place will be commerce. There's going to be, as far as the Word of God, I believe, teaches, one great central international capital for the world, which again will be the center. It will be one great center, and it will have a commercial king. There's going to be, as far as prophecy is concerned, beloved, a great revival of the East, especially in the districts around the site of old Babylon, Iraq, and the river Euphrates. If I was to turn you tonight to Zechariah 5, verses 5 to 11, and the vision there of the ephah, you will find the ephah is a symbol of commerce. And two women with stalk-like wings are seen in the vision by Zechariah, a young man, but he saw big things. And he sees that that ephah, that symbol of commerce in the vision, is transported and transferred. Where to? It says to the land of China. Yes, I believe, according to the Word of God, there's going to be a literal commercial center. There is going to be a future Mecca of society. I am well aware that some have said, well, when you think of Babylon of the past, how can there be a future Babylon? How can there be such a real literal city built? Because doesn't the last verses of Isaiah 13, in prophetically pronouncing the doom of Babylon, tell us that no one will inhabit there, and there will be no beast there? It'll be a place of loneliness and desolation and so on. And therefore, Isaiah 13 is surely speaking about the Babylon of the past, King Nebuchadnezzar, of whom we read in the book of Daniel. But my brother, my sister, if we carefully look at Isaiah chapter 13, we will discover the manner of its destruction and the time of its destruction. In that prophecy of the doom of Babylon, Isaiah 13 is really not speaking of the Babylon of past history, of which most schoolboys know, that has now passed out of existence and gave way to another mighty empire. Isaiah 13 is not speaking about that Babylon, about the past empire in history in Daniel's day. Why? Because in the prophecy of his destruction, we're told in verse 6 of Isaiah 13 when it will be destroyed. It will be destroyed in the day of the Lord.
Now, when the Babylon of the past passed away,
and its power was gone,
it wasn't the day of the Lord.
This is the period of the day of the Lord that we're talking about in these prophetic meetings tonight, that was set in sometime after the rapture of the church. The day of the Lord speaks of judgments, speaks of the suffering that Israel will have to pass through, the time of woe that will be on the earth, and all these seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls. Yes. With all the judgments upon the earth that they symbolize. So, the Babylon of Isaiah 13 will be destroyed when? In the day of the Lord.
In the Spirit.
How will that Babylon of Isaiah 13 be destroyed? We're told it will be destroyed swiftly and suddenly by fire.
Fire.
That's interesting. I take you back to the Babylon of the past, the Babylon Empire. That was not destroyed by fire. The Babylonian Empire was really, as far as its rule and power was concerned, taken over very quietly and given to the Medes. It certainly was not destroyed completely by fire.
So that Isaiah 13 is a prophecy about the Babylon of the future. It's a prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled. Isaiah 13 links very well with Revelation chapter 18.
About a literal city, a commercial, big, international center or mecca that will exist and will be built in the tribulation time. How does your Bible begin? In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, you have
the Tower of Babel.
And you have a city. You have God coming down and confusing the languages, or bringing in confusion miraculously. And for the first time, man, humanity, after the fall, can't understand each other. And that's why you have languages. And so today, we have so many thousands of foreign tongues all over the world. And we shouldn't say, you know, well, that means that man is very clever and very ingenious, and he has advanced so much that, you know, he's worked out how to speak different languages and communicate with each other. My, these different languages, all the thousands of languages in the world today, don't they tell us that man is clever and man is advancing? No, they don't. The very fact that man has to learn another language, business-wise or otherwise, to communicate with others, the very fact that there's thousands of languages in the world today, is a proof of the fall of man, the guilt of man.
Not the cleverness in advance of man.
So there was confusion of tongues, and that's what Babylon means. Confusion. How the Bible began in Genesis, the seed plot of the Bible. Babylon. And man wanted to build a center there. God had to intervene and smash the whole scheme and program. But the devil, through man, will seek to build another center and to repeat what happened in Genesis.
Mecca. The city Babylon. Where was Peter when he wrote the first epistle? In Babylon. Tells us that. Oh, I know it was just a village. But it was still a place. And it was still inhabited. So how then can Isaiah 13 be fulfilled? More than that. I understand as far back as 1890, the town of Hilla, on part of the site of ancient Babylon, had then a population of 10,000. I understand now it has a population of around 90,000. It's growing very, very fast. Iraq, as you know, is the most oil-rich country in the world. I was intrigued several years ago. It was announced in the national press back at home in Britain that the Iraqi government were planning to build a city on the ancient site of Babylon. Even Saddam Hussein
is trying to do something like that. Build an ancient city of Babylon. Now, of course, please don't run away and say, Mr. Stubbs is saying that what Saddam Hussein is doing in trying to build a city there is a fulfillment of prophecy. I'm not saying that. No, no. Please don't get a wrong conclusion.
But I'm letting you see the interest in the area. The ideas that big, great men have had to have such a center like this, even around that area of the river Euphrates. In fact, 200 years after the Medes took over Babylon, remember Cyrus did that, Alexander the Great visited the area, visited Babylon, and wanted to make it his capital. That's a piece of history. More, an eminent engineer employed some time ago by the Spanish government, he found complete plans for the restoration of Babylon at the command of Napoleon of France.
What is all this telling us, if nothing else? Man through the ages has had an interest in this particular area around Iraq, where Iraq now is, and the river Euphrates. Man has always had the big idea of having a great big center, or Mecca, from whence he can rule.
And we can see the trend of things even now. I say to you tonight from the Word of God, considered over many years, that there will be one great central international capital of the world. Behind the international monetary system, we've got to recognize today there is a master mind. Even now, there's a tendency all over the world for everything to concentrate. What? In and for commerce. Why do we build bigger roads and highways and motorways, lay new cables, build bigger ships, build bigger planes or faster planes? Why? For religious ends? For political ends? No. For commercial ends. For trade.
That's the big thing behind it all, my dear friend. And it's all the more remarkable because I want to just make a reference to the Jews now. Because when the Jews were taken down into captivity in Babylon, as a result of their disobedience and refusal to listen to the warnings of God and the need to be repentant, for 70 years Israel suffered captivity. And before they went into captivity in Babylon, what kind of people were the Jews? They were an agricultural people. They were not a commercial people. But the wonderful thing is that after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, it would seem that they had learned the arts of commerce from the Gentiles, and ever since they have completely beaten the Gentiles at the arts of commerce. And behind all the businesses, big businesses, and where there's plenty of money today, you'll not find the Jew very, very far behind. Can you see that even chapter 18 and verse 4, I know that we apply this to separation today, and separation from the world runs right from the Bible, the first part of the Bible, Genesis, right through to the last, the book of Revelation. And we've often heard this quoted, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." What people, my friend, will be in this commercial center in that time? Jews. Oh, there'll be Gentiles there, but there'll be somehow or other, perhaps even some of the Jews will be caught up in the interest of this great commercial center, because it's going to be an international center and mecca of society and a place of commerce. The Jew will be there. And so the call to them will be, "Come out of her, my people." Can I back this up by the Word of God? You turn to Isaiah chapter 11, another prophecy, and it tells you that when God is going to restore the nation of Israel, he'll bring his people from afar, from other countries as well as the land of Palestine or Judea. And it lists there in Isaiah 11 some of the places and the countries that God will bring his people from to restore them. And you know one of the places that is mentioned? China. Some of the Jews will even be in China. And we need to leave there when God sets his hand a second time. And just as he delivered his people from bondage in Egypt and redeemed them by power
He's going to restore his people and work even bigger miracles, and he's going to bring them out of all kinds of countries, and he's going to bring them even out of the land of Shinar and out of Babylon. And so the voice of God here is, come out of her, my people. If you don't find this very interesting, I do. Speak. I want to tell you, my friend, that commerce, at the end time, in the time of the tribulation, commerce as we know it, will be absolutely corrupt. There's nothing really wrong with honest trading, and I hope you as a believer in business are not marked by duplicity, but I hope that you're marked by honesty, integrity, and decency in business, and are not underhand. No, there's nothing wrong with honest trading, but much of this will be corrupt. So much so that we read there in verse number 2 that Babylon will be a habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit. It will be under demon influence, will this great center. I hope you are aware, my friend, that today demon activity is increasing. And prophecy would seem to hint at this and indicate the nearer we get to the rapture and the nearer we get to the time of the tribulation period, Daniel 7:3, the end time, the more the devil will assert himself and the more active demons will be, not only in the doctrinal religious field and in the international field, but in the commercial field. And this Babylon will be under the dominion of demons. It will be a habitation of demons. How dreadful! What kind of city will Babylon be? I want to mention 7 things about Babylon here in Revelation 18. First of all, her magnificence. We read that in verse 21. Thus, with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down. In fact, verse 16 and 18, and several times over in Revelation 18,
we read of the magnificence of this great city that will be built and will exist in the tribulation time. It will be a big city.
New York, I'm sorry, Brisbane or Sydney or Paris or London will pale into insignificance. It will be as nothing in comparison with this great center and necker of society. The last great city of human greatness is Babylon. In this modern, advanced necker of society, Babylon of Revelation chapter 18, we see what modern civilization and commerce are able to effect and what they have been up to. And nowadays we have many things, especially commerce, centralizing, and lots of businesses being bought out by bigger businesses, and things tend to centralize, don't they? Well, God will allow this idea of commerce to develop and to centralize in this place, Babylon. What a magnificent city it would be. By the way, how many cities do you have in the book of Revelation? Well, I just want to refer to 2 now. And I want to get a practical word in. What city are you interested in? What city tonight am I interested in? Am I interested in Babylon and all that it speaks of down here? Society, sport, pleasure. Everything that Babylon speaks of, or am I interested in another city? Tomorrow night, we're going to think about this wonderful city, New Jerusalem. The heavenly city. I said somewhere recently, I tried to read Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. A bit heavy for me as a young boy. I just couldn't get the sense of it and the links of it and had to put it down. It's about London and Paris, a tale of two cities. Well, in many ways, you know, the book of Revelation is a tale of two cities, the story of two cities, man's city, and modern civilization, and where since man
man's sin and man's pride and man's ambition and man's plans and ideas and pride will bring him.
But God's city, of which the church will form a part, for we are a heavenly people,
that will cast its light over the millennial earth.
We'll talk about this tomorrow night. I say again, what city are you interested in tonight?
The Babylon spirit, the Babylon principle is all around us, we can't deny it. But there's little interest in heavenly things.
What is the writer saying in Hebrews 13? It's lovely, isn't it? Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're a pilgrim people.
That was a good word for those Christian Hebrews, if I can call them that, because the city of Jerusalem, that very historic so-called holy city, was doomed, wasn't it? And the Lord Jesus said the temple would be destroyed, and of course the city too. And I said last night, was it, that in AD 70, Titus with his armies, the Roman armies, destroyed not only the temple, but the city of Jerusalem. Terrible historical tragedy and calamity nationally for Israel.
God historically showed he was finished with the nation as a testimony. Ever since the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when the children of Israel went down into captivity, as I referred to already, it's been the times of the Gentiles. And Jerusalem, in one way or another, has been under the control of the Gentiles and not the Jew. It's not truly the holy city, nor the holy land.
It'd be nice to go to a trip for some folk to the holy land. How many times in the Bible is the land of Palestine called a holy land? Once.
Just once.
I'd love to go too. Too busy, but I'd love to go. Wouldn't you?
It's very interesting and very fascinating and very touching and very moving, I am sure. Only once in Zechariah 3, I think it is the land of Israel called a holy land.
But then that's the future. After the tribulation time, after Daniel's 70th week, well now, in the time of Israel's restoration, in the millennium, it will truly be a holy land. It's not that now. We may piously and kind of nicely refer to it as the holy land, but it's not. What city are you interested in? Do you remember that you are a pilgrim and a stranger?
The city of Babylon here in Revelation 18, its magnificence as far as earthly greatness is concerned, the best city ever seen and produced.
An American was anxious to trace a Jewish author somewhere in Europe. He had an idea of where he lived but didn't have the address. After a long time he tracked him down and located him and came to the house where this Jewish author, famous Jewish author, lived. And he was amazed when he came into the little house. There was hardly any furniture in the house. And to think of him as a famous author, well, he thought, you know, he didn't have much. There was hardly a stick of furniture in there. And he said to the Jewish author, he says, look, he says, where's your furniture? And the Jewish father replied, where's yours?
Where's mine? I'm just passing through.
So am I, said the Jew. I thought that was pretty good. Mind you, that he wasn't a Christian.
Peter reminds us, past the time of your sojourn here in fear.
We're just pilgrim strength. We forget, of course. Here we have no continuous city, but we seek one to come. Well now, Babylon, it's magnificent. It's magnificent. And secondly, it's materialism. Very, very materialistic is the city. You can't read the whole of Revelation at chapter 18 without being deeply impressed with this. It just hits you. It just comes out at you in the pages of Revelation 18. The materialism of the city.
Rampant materialism will be the order of the day in Babylon. Everything will be geared for that. Life will be lived around it. What a material center Babylon will be.
Are we not reminded that godliness with contentment is great gain? And to be satisfied? The Babylon idea of materialism can affect our spirits and begin to control us. I like to think, you know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan of Luke chapter 10, of three attitudes to possessions. The attitude of the thieves and the robbers. What was their attitude? The poor man on the road there. Their attitude was this: what's yours is mine, and I'm going to get it. That's all around us today.
And then, of course, there was the Levite and the priest that passed by. What was their attitude to possession? What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. They wouldn't even share anything. I hope that's not your idea. What was the attitude of the Good Samaritan? Oh, how different to the robbers, and how different to the Levite and the priest. What's mine, in effect, he said. What's mine is yours, and you shall have it. That is the spirit of Christ, isn't it? Oh, the spirit of the Master would more be displayed in us. And there's nothing more than materialism to eat away the spiritual vitals of the Christian and to cause us to be non-effective. Beware of the snare of materialism. Remember, young man, the word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2, be not entangled in the affairs of this life. If you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, be not entangled in the affairs of this life. You've got to touch them, you've got to move in them. But you know, they can sometimes become a spider's web. So that any spiritual desires and time for the assembly and the things of God are crushed and crowded out of you. Beware. Remember, your responsibility is to God. The magnificence of Babylon. The materialism of Babylon. What about the merchandise, thirdly? The merchandise of Babylon. Well, what a list we have from verse number 11 down to verse number 13.
The ladies of the day, film stars too, and all the great would love to go to Babylon to do their shopping there.
The best of material, the best of dresses, the costliest and most...
Oh, yes.
Merchandise, I want you to notice. Costly luxuries, not necessities. I repeat, costly luxuries, not... Notice, and I try to give the effect of this when I read the passage from verse 11 to 13 concerning the city of Babylon in Revelation 18. I tried to give the effect when I read that last, little interest, last in the list.
All will have no interest lasting in. They're living for earning for the glory of the city and the commerce and the pleasure and the sport and the news. Wants the silver, he wants the thing about himself.
In time, there'll be a make a man. Are we forgetting the souls of sad? This is where so called advance the point he will reach in his son to the souls of men. Magnificence of Babylon. And then Babylon. Oh yes. I want to tell you, in Babylon, my friend, Mammon is then, it'll probably be Paul. But the churches and their, and money for that, oh yes, it's needed.
Firstly, effective, wasn't it? And all worried and restored.
But this place, all concentrated on this thing, effective trend.
What are we doing with that?
He looked for a city. I was surprised to think of it. You see, I try to prove from the word of God there is going to be such a city.
So you tell us that it's going to be built in that period, it'll have to be built mighty quick. Oh, look, dear me, it's amazing how buildings go up today in cities,
isn't it? All modern machinery.
I want to tell you, the devil will see to it that this city will go up pretty quick. It won't last very long, no longer won't.
Will you follow?
Babylon, her magnificence, her materialism, her merchandise, her money, her music, her music. Come down to verse 22, this is interesting. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee.
Ah,
very, very interesting. The city of Babylon will be a city of music. And literally, yes. Amid the noise and bustling city of Babylon, amid it all, will be heard the music of its pleasure centers. There's no doubt that the world's best singers of that day will all want to be in Babylon. Oh yeah. And players as well. The best trumpeters, pianists, violinists, jazz bands, you name it.
Over there.
Its pleasure places, my friend, will be going day and night.
unendingly, unceasingly.
You can't go into some stores now without a terrible noise deafening your ears from music, can you?
What a noise you have with this speaking music and this modern music and whatever it's called, I don't know, it's not music at all. Yes, for music it'll be a very, very, very big centre, a very, very noisy place. All the music of the day will be there.
In fact, the lights will never go out.
And the most modern advance of electrical illumination will all be there.
Every 24 hours will just be like all day. No darkness. No night.
Everything that ministers the joy and the pleasure of man will be there.
Then verse 23, her merriment, her merriment. Let's read it, so that we follow.
And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived.
So you see from this that its places of music will be going all day and all night. There'll be a constant mad whirl of pleasure, absorbing the desires for riches of men. It'll keep, you know, the places open continually, day by day, and the wheels of business constantly moving. And all this will be made easier, of course, because behind the mania will be demon influence.
The cage of every unclean bird. It'll be the habitation of demons. Sin will be the order of the day. Moral decency
will be a thing of the past. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee.
So that for a while, for quite a while, at least 3.5 years, in the city Babylon, it'll be a place given over to merriment, riotous joy, and ceaseless festivity. I want to say to you tonight, may God preserve every believer in this ministry meeting from the spirit of Babylon that seeks not heaven, that is content with the world and things down here, where God is left out, and where there is a social,
but in the place of the spiritual. Let us beware of these things. God wants us to go in for the spiritual.
The assembly is not a social club, is it?
It's a spiritual holy center. Let us remember that.
There may be at times social things that we may have to be involved in, even in business. Even then we have to be careful as Christians. But keep uppermost, please, in your mind and give priority to this, that which is spiritual. Never, never allow, please, the social to take away, to override and overcome and be greater than the spiritual, because if it does, that's the Babylon spirit. That's what will be there in the city of Babylon.
What are the features of the city? Her magnificence, her materialism, her merchandise, her money, her music, her merriment. Ah, but listen, her misery.
Look, it's all going to come to an end.
Very quickly, come back for just a moment to verse number 14, and to read very affecting words.
And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. The luxuries and the dainties and the sins and the pleasures that they delighted in and lived by will all of a sudden be departed from them. Very quickly will be taken away.
James says, doesn't he, in his epistle, in the first 3 verses of chapter 5, you've heaped treasure together
for the last days.
Everything that we have, even as believers, when the Lord comes, will have to leave behind. And we have to remind the unbeliever that these are the things and all that he's lived for and his possessions he'll have to leave behind. Man has a soul beyond the material possessions that he has, and God often has to interrupt man's life sadly and tragically, like he did with the rich young farmer of Luke 12, and say, "Soul, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee." It's really, they shall, the demons shall require thy soul, Lord. Drag it down to hell.
All his possessions and all his plans and schemes are swiftly, suddenly gone.
The misery of Babylon will be complete, my friend, because it will be utterly and completely destroyed by fire. Verse 8.
Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire.
Utterly burned with fire. So much so, do you know, that for the whole course of the millennial period, the early part of Revelation 19 tells us that the smoke, will arise and be seen continually for the whole 1,000 years of Babylon that had been destroyed. And a solemn, continual example to man even in the millennium, that man is a failure. Everything that man touches is a failure. The best that man can do is a failure as far as God is concerned. And that which he was created for to glorify him has been indeed a miserable failure. Man has not glorified him. And all that modern civilization can introduce at its heart and center in Babylon
will end in misery. So much so, the merchants in verse 15 will bewail her. The mariners of verse 17 will bewail her. And the monarchs of verse 9 will lament and bewail.
The sudden divine destruction of this mecca of society, of civilization, of commerce.
Smashed. Suddenly destroyed. Fire from heaven. And what does it say? The light of a candle shall shine no more. The light of modern civilization will be put out by God. What city are you interested in? Let not the Babylon spirit and principle motivate you, dear child of God. Let us look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Heaven. That wonderful heavenly city. Let's live in the light of that. Let's live devoted lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not build our hopes down here, but on Christ in heaven. Build our character for eternity. Let us avoid the principle of Babylon and all that it speaks of and all it will come to here in Revelation 18. I trust that God will make effective his word tonight and bless it to every heart, that we all may feel the challenge of his word. God has told us these things. He has informed us about them. It's fascinating, oh yes, but it's fearful too. Leave these things with you and look to God to make them fruitful in my life and in your life.